Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Tone, what's your favorite Bone Thugs song?
Oh, I'll tell you, and it'll shock you on the next Emerging Podcast Scene.
I bet it won't. We'll also talk about stadiums, because that's what we talk about. The governor of Ohio and Bone Thugs.
And what do Bob Newhart and Salt-N-Pepa have in common?
It's the Emerging Podcast Scene, presented by Extend Technologies on 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app.
The first 4 hours were simply an amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
I'm good.
Your table is now ready for Carmen and Lima's Emerging Podcast Scene.
XTENDAV.com. We have a video that Keith just put up, and it's Mary Kay saying that Kenny Pickett would be the day one starter. And you're like trying to motion for me that you could ask a question and I'm not looking at you. And you're just like, okay, just don't look at me. Fine. Just be that way.
I am curious when we get picked up.
He's not on.
When we get.
Someone keeps taking it out of program
microphone
too.
Microphone and program. Can you hear me now?
Should be able to.
When this gets going here.
I would like to make an announcement.
What?
Yes.
We can hear you.
Okay, good.
When we are going to be streaming live, okay? Me and you have developed a ton of what, on the outside looking in, would seem like bad habits.
Oh, they're terrible habits.
But no, here's why I say that.
Mouth cuss words at you during segments? Yeah, that's
okay,
probably not
and when
good.
We make fun of guests. Okay, those are bad habits.
That's also not good.
I'm talking about we have ways of communicating.
Boy, we need to put a delay on this thing.
That make it seem like we are not paying attention
Can't
to each
do
other.
It. Yeah.
And so now people are going to pick up on that stuff and try to divide the show. I can see it already. They are going to try to divide the show.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, because me and you look like we hate each other's guts.
All the time.
When we are doing these shows and interviews, but we're communicating in different ways. We're texting, we're DMing.
Yeah.
Maybe we're going to start, do we have a talk back button for us to be able to use?
No.
That might be a bad idea.
Well, it's dangerous. You're fighting with fire. Especially when we get a guest that we want to call a blanking blank. It's going to be tough on the talkback if the talkback's not operational, because that's just going to go on the air. And then the guest is going to hear it. So, how are you going to prepare for this, Kenny, as a broadcast professional? We're just going to have to stare at the cameras, and that's no fun. The hell fun is that?
Yeah, true.
This is going to suck.
That will suck.
Who stares at cameras? Only people in hostage videos.
Mm-hmm. It depends. I see a lot of I see a lot of guests on Zoom, and I'm like, hey, you want to pull that back just a little bit on TV?
I say that all the time.
Like, man, you are just up close and personal. I made fun of Jason Lloyd about that. He was on, I forget what he was on. He was on Maggie and Perloff, and I'm like, why are you in the face of the camera, Jason? What are you doing? You look like you're threatening them. It looked ridiculous. So, Mike DeWine, real quick, I won't be long with
this. I've heard of him.
He said that he'd rather do taxes on gambling than dig out of the kitty on a, what the hell is it where you take the money and you pay it back over time?
Yeah,
bond?
The bonds.
Yeah. He'd rather do that than a bond, which I actually agree with. I think that's a much better, I think that's easier for the public to consume. I know that the companies probably wouldn't like that, but who are, you know, working with gambling and everything, but I think it's easier for the public to consume. I think some of that stuff, maybe I'm wrong, I think some of that stuff you maybe notice at first, but if you live in the state of Ohio, is it going to stop you? Nope, it's not. I think they would make it to a negligible piece where you could raise $150 million a year to be able to do something like that and be able to register something that's decent for both the Cleveland Browns and for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Well, the hard part about all these proposals is these are all estimates.
Yes.
And you have bodies that study this stuff. That
we have studies
that do all the work interpreting data and estimates and running it through kind of an accounting process on whether this is even feasible. And there are groups right now saying none of this adds up. The bond issue didn't add up. They said you're going to be underwater. You're not going to be ahead like Minnesota was in with their pull tab setup and being able to pay off that stadium way ahead of time, way ahead of schedule, which is just something you never hear about. In sports subsidies. So
I can't believe pull tabs are that popular.
I don't understand that.
They're great.
Huge stadiums.
What about Keno? Is it better than Keno?
Yes.
Man, really? I see everybody playing Keno everywhere.
I see people standing at the drive-thru / convenience store every day standing there watching Keno.
But pull tabs, you get instant gratification. Keno, you got to wait around for a minute for them numbers to come up.
I think that's part of the fun, though.
And it's kind of a time killer. But you see it at bars. How many people do you see playing? I was in Perrysburg 3 weeks ago, sitting at the bar at Frickers, right by the Keno TV. There was one guy playing.
Really? That's it?
There's always one.
One guy.
There's a guy who...
I think he was the general manager.
There's a bar, Fat Little Buddies, in Olmsted Falls.
Yep.
Olmsted Township. There was
I know what you're talking about.
There's a guy I knew who used to go there every day and play Keno. Sit at the corner of the bar.
Nice.
Play Keno.
And he I see way more people playing pull tabs at bars than I do.
Really?
Keno.
Yeah. I've been to one bar, and it was in Bellevue, Washington.
Nice.
That had a bunch of pull tabs behind it. That
I
was
don't
the only
know what
time
pull,
I ever saw it. And we walked in there, we're going,
"What pull tab?
Like, what is
what
this?
Is it? What is it?
I'll get you a video.
It's hard to explain. I saw it. It's still
a
hard.
Little,
to,
yeah. You've never seen them at. You never went to a Catholic festival, a carnival.
Yes.
It's the same thing,
but
that
digital?
They sell there. No.
Oh, it's actually
there's still paper.
Okay. Yeah.
The one guy who goes to the drive-thru in Maslin, he's like, he's got a following on Instagram because he puts $20 in.
Yeah.
And then he goes,
I know who you're talking about.
He goes, everyone knows the rules. Or at least he says, you know the rules or something like that. You know the rules. And
he's got catch first.
He hits a button and it just goes, sends 20 tickets, a buck a ticket, a buck a tab. And he will stack them in his hand, and he will go through really quickly. And the whole thing is to get his $20 back so he could buy, a Pepsi for himself and his mom. And it's very Canton. It's one of those Canton people you'll ever see.
And how often does he make out in this scenario?
Every now, it seems to be, he definitely, I think, makes money on the pull tab. Because if you get 20, and like he doesn't mix and match. So if you're going down the same thing and putting $20 in, you're going to get something to hit.
Yeah.
So I bet he comes up. I'm sure it's negligible. I think I saw him hit. I think the most you can win is 600 on those.
So and this
I
th- is
I've
not
seen him hit two. I've seen him hit two for
pull
600.
Pull tabs are not a good investment strategy, is what you're saying?
I don't know, man. I feel like I have played for nights at St. Charles on Ridge Road, played for hours at night.
And not gotten anything?
No, you just kind of float around. Like, you go, you put 20 in, you might make 40, and then you go buy 40, right? Because you got 40 now. And then you come back with, like, 12. And then you're like, oh, I might want to get out. No, who cares?
Yeah.
Let's go again, and then they get you back in.
That's the way they get
then
you
hit another one, and you just kind of... It's a time killer.
Yeah.
They're all time killers.
Yeah. So I think he just puts in 20, and every now and then he comes up diamonds, and every now and then he comes up short. I haven't seen him do a video in a long time. I thought I followed him on Instagram. I don't know if I do. What was his name? Why do I forget his name?
Pulley McTaberson.
No, it was like Bubby Child or something. I forget what the hell it was. Anyway, so I think that this could be a way to kind of not make the public very angry. Get these things built. I understand that the city leaders might not be thrilled about it, but I think the general public might be. And then people in Columbus, because I don't want people in Cincinnati to not have a football team. As much trash as I talk, I don't want that team to move, for crying
it's
out loud.
It's also, when was that stadium built?
That stadium was built around the same time ours was. Right. Ours was.
So even then, I mean, it was the 90s and people were still, you know, way more active than in the 70s or, you know, I mean, Old Municipal was built in 20.
I want to say 31.
Yeah, it was open then, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they started, so, I think, maybe late.
But 20. think about where we're at entertainment-wise. How many people travel to go to concerts now to go see Taylor Swift? And that's all I ever hear about is people going on these trips.
I'm glad you brought that up.
If we build another dome down south in Cincinnati that's 3 hours away.
That's a good point.
I mean, if this tax is an Ohio-wide tax, it's still going to benefit people around here. There's going to be more things coming through.
I'm glad you brought that up. I didn't think about this. I was driving on Euclid,
right down Euclid.
Yeah, right down Euclid, and I remembered. I go, oh yeah, the old Cleveland Arena. I'm like, where did people go for these other? Like now you have like, okay, so and so is coming to Rocket Arena, and they're playing a concert at Rocket Arena on October 1st. Peter Gabriel's coming to Rocket Arena.
Sledgehammer.
And I know it was a different time, and I'm going, did they play it? They must have had to play the Cleveland Arena. Or they played it, what, probably back in those days, because they tore down Cleveland Arena, I want to say, in like 78.
Yeah.
And they probably just played at the Agora. They played in the ballroom. They played at theaters. Maybe they did play some of the, because I know they opened the Coliseum with Sinatra. So, but how many acts at that time were that big that you could play in a stadium or an arena or something like that? Plus, the arena was smaller than what Rocket Arena is now, certainly. I know they had like World Series of Rock and things like that, and you could get some bands in stadiums and stuff, but my God, like you think about it now, like isn't the standard basically a basketball arena of what you're trying to do as an entertainer?
I think so. Like 20,000, that's where you're like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's. But remember, well, you're cutting off half, so it's like 14,000. Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
So I think that that's part of it. But it was hard to wrap my mind around it. Like, what does a show do at like that type of, at that time? Because you can't even
what
fathom
year are you talking
an arena
about?
Show. I'm talking like the 50s, 60s. Because like when like the Beatles played at Shea in the 60s. All right. That's a huge venue. But that's a one-off. Did they go on a stadium tour? I don't think they did.
There was also, by the way, people on the east side will definitely remember this. The Front Row. There was a place called the Front Row in like Mayfield.
Really?
Mayfield Heights and Mayfield Village, maybe, on Somme.
Okay.
And this, or right on Wilson Mills Road. This thing used to be an in the round venue.
Oh!
And the stage would move. I saw what was left of the Temptations in the late 80s, early 90s with my parents.
That's amazing. So that's a. I think those venues, especially if that was an older venue at that time in the 80s, are few and far between. I mean, Elvis and the Beatles and things like that, they were playing in high school gymnasiums.
Yeah.
In the late 50s and 60s.
Oh, yeah.
That is crazy.
That is nuts to me.
I mean, Elvis came here in 55, I think, and played at, it might have been Rhodes.
When
I know
saw,
it was a big deal.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. When I saw...
All right, hold on real quick. The Front Row, we have the timing, 1974 to 1993, technically Highland Heights.
Okay.
The Jackson Five, the Pointer Sisters, Chuck Berry, Little Richard, Jesus. Harry Belafonte, Cheech and Chong, Al Green, Dionne Warwick. I mean, it's everybody.
That's a who's who,
time.
Man.
Oh, it keeps going and going and going.
That is a who's who right there. I can't believe that many people play that. It's called the Front Row.
From Bob Newhart to Salt and Peppa.
At the Front Row?
At the Kenny Rogers.
Wow.
Wayne Newton.
They had a rotating stage for the James Taylor concert I went to, which it made me respect James Taylor. I used to be like, oh, God, this is terrible. And then I met Liz, and she really liked James Taylor, and I decided to take her to James Taylor up at the Q, now Rocket Arena. And it was her and Carole King, and I didn't realize how many songs Carole King had written. And she performed them because she could write them.
Perform the ones that you wrote. Yeah.
Yeah, she had license over these songs, so she was performing these songs. I go, oh my God, she did this, she did this, she did this. Yeah. I was like, wow, this woman, she knows what the hell she's doing. James Taylor was great. It was a great show.
One final note. The Michael Stanley Band ended its 13-year career with a sold-out run of 12 performances at the Front Row in 1986 to January 3rd, 1987. So I'm 6 years old going to the Front Row.
Is there a city? There's got to be people listening on the app that are in different cities. Is there a city that has a relationship with a band or a musical artist like Cleveland does with Michael Stanley?
Apparently Los Angeles with Nipsey Hussle.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I have no idea.
That's recent, but yes.
Yeah, you're right, though. How many? I'm sure every town.
I think every city has. Our guy.
I want to know.
In Tulsa, it was tons of country artists, but Leon Russell was like the guy in Tulsa.
Okay.
And he's done it. You've probably heard his songs.
They made a documentary about him.
Yeah. He was like LSD guy. It was crazy.
Yeah.
But he's from Tulsa, and he has like. Those I remember my old like little league baseball coaches talking about that guy like he was, and I've told you my Michael Stanley thing where I didn't know Michael Stanley was Michael Stanley. He was just Mike who works over at NCX for a long time. Yeah. But like I think every town, every big city in each state has a guy that was regionally the man, probably bigger than.
Like Pittsburgh has Johnny Iris.
Mm. Yeah.
Who's like Chicago's?
R. Kelly.
We still got more time on the podcast, man. Come on. That wasn't a walk-off. Let's go.
But you know what the
rap... It's like old 98.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
All the rap groups, like down in Memphis and Atlanta, well, so many rappers.
Let me tell you, I've spent a ton of time in Memphis on Beale Street, and 3-6 Mafia just walks around down there, and it's crazy.
Take a Club Up Thugs.
Oh, yes.
I had that CD.
It was freaking great.
I traded, this probably is not a good thing to admit, I traded DMX, Flesh of My What was it called?
Flesh of My Flesh, Blood of My Blood.
For Tear the Club Up Thugs. I traded that CD.
That's okay. For 3-6
And on that CD, on the Tear the Club Up Thugs.
Am I the Nico Harrison of rap CD traders?
Well, because there was Tear the Club Up 97.
Of course.
Which was the 3-6 Mafia hit. The big hit. Then Tear the Club Up Thugs came out. And it was actually the Orange basketball. Orange High School basketball had the Chones triplets.
Their entire warm-up video,
which is a bunch of Jewish kids on the team.
No.
Their warm-up music was the entire CD, Tear the Club Up Thugs.
With the lyrics?
Which had, what was the song with Twista? Snorted Out.
I'm smoked out, snorted out, drunk in a bone.
And his verse at the end was just incredible.
Yes.
It's just funny that Orange came out to that. And by the way, I think Jim Jones was the head coach for a few years, and he wore these Joe Tate-like sweaters.
It was Tear the Club Up Thugs, 3-6 Mafia, Crazy Into Last Days.
Did they have a song with Crucial Conflict as well?
Came out February 2nd, 1999. All right, let me get the track listing here.
Yeah.
Smoked Out featuring Twista. That was the third song on this. Who the Crunkest with Project Pat.
Yeah, Project Pat, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going back. Wet Party. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Would you like to tell people about a wet party, Kenny?
I think that was about killing people, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Number 19, I can't say out loud.
Say
number 20, I can't say out loud. Number 20 was to me a poetry. if you could. I really do think so. This was just good stuff, man. This was just good stuff. They did hypnotize Cash Money with BGZ, Juvenile, Birdman, yeah, Lil Wayne, Turk. Did Turk go to jail?
A lot of collaborators on this.
Where's Turk? Turk is out. I thought he went to prison. 04.
Well, Crunchy Black's in prison. Oh,
SWAT,
I know that for
SWAT
sure.
Officers ended up at his house. Oh, that's not good.
But see, I never followed the life and times of a lot of these rappers the way I had buddies that did. So I just knew some of the music. I didn't know what. I couldn't pick out any of them in a lineup. I had no idea. And a lot of them ended up in a lineup. I didn't know what any of these guys, like what their personal life, what was going on. Like even Bone. I didn't know anything about what the guys were doing in Bone when I was, you know, memorizing every word to every song for like an 8-year run of Bone.
Number 8 was a warm-up song for us.
What was it called?
I can't say it.
Oh, you can't say it. Okay. Yeah. Oh, I know which one.
Turk was in prison from 04 to October 2012 after he was released from prison after serving 9 years. You don't want to know what he did. Damn, he was only sentenced to 10 years?
I always want to know how much money...
You got to get his lawyer.
How much money did these guys actually make? Because we all knew at that time, all, even the biggest artists were getting totally ripped off by their record labels.
Oh, yeah. Well, these guys, these Southern rappers, especially, like, I don't think... Even, like, the No Limit guys and all that. Yeah,
these guys just stayed living in where they grew up, in the projects, the inner city.
Well, that's why I say... Dude, I'm talking about, I saw 3-6 Mafia after they won an Oscar for the Hustle and Flow song.
Yeah.
Just like walking on Bill Street. B.B. King's, like walking into B.B. King's on Bill Street.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Juvenile still got a lot of money, I bet.
I think he lost it because of tax stuff.
No.
Yeah, look up Juvenile and tax stuff.
Taxes always get you, man. You got to be careful about the taxes. Lil Wayne's got money, I bet.
Wait, that might be Mystical. Yeah. I might be thinking of Mystical that lost.
You don't want to talk about Mystical. There's some. That's a road I'd rather not travel.
You know, Bone Thugs and Harmony had songs. He mentioned the song that won an Oscar for, was it, did you say 3-6 Mafia?
Yes. Yeah. Hard Out Here for a Pimp.
Days of Our Lives by Bone Thugs and Harmony in Set It Off.
Yeah.
It's on the Set It Off soundtrack.
Have you heard the John Mulaney story recently about Bone Thugs and
Harmony? You know
what?
I have it bookmarked. I have it. Is it good? Yeah, I haven't listened to it yet.
It's pretty good. I think if you're from Cleveland, you enjoy that story.
Okay.
I think if you're not from Cleveland and you're 40, you enjoy that story or, you know, in that wheelhouse. I do think there's areas of the country that just don't care.
What's your favorite Bone Thugs song?
Mine is probably
DeWine to this.
Yeah, well, that's where it always goes. Yeah. Every time we start talking about governors.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say Mo Murda.
Really?
Yep.
Now, why is that?
Spoke to me. You know, living the life that I live, Mean Streets, Chesterland.
There were a couple good. No, back when we were kids, well, you're 5 years older than me, so you were probably a full grown adult with a job. Back when we were kids, there was a couple of guys, I thought they were in the news. They got in. I think it was attempted murder. It might have been murder. They said they tried to blame the Bone Thugs song. They said that they were possessed by it or something like that. They had heard a Bone Thugs song and it encouraged them to go do that. What my favorite Bone Thugs song? First of the month is great. You know what I like? This is gonna surprise you. I like Rebirth after they're all old men and they get back together some years ago and they did it. That was a good song. First of the month's great. The Crossroads Mo Murda is a good song. That is a Down 71 The Getaway. Down 71 The Getaway or East 1999.
East 1999 is probably, yeah.
Yeah, those are good ones.
Notorious
Can
Thugs.
You say Crossroads? Crossroads was good, guys.
No, I thought I said the Crossroads.
But it was so commercial.
It was just very commercial.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, well, I didn't want to be a sellout.
But that's the way I was
introduced.
Me as a
Bone fan, I didn't want
to
be a sellout.
Well, First of Month, I think, is where I was introduced to him at, but...
They had
for a guy that wasn't here at that time?
There was a song that... Remember, they had a song that was featured on the Batman and Robin soundtrack. That's pretty commercial.
Yeah, Kiss from a Rose.
No, that's somebody else. Stop bringing it back to him, damn it. We got to move on from that. Stop it right now. What else did you want to bring up today? Oh, yeah, but Mike DeWine. It always comes back to DeWine when we start talking about hip-hop.
I found a way for us to buy our own pool tabs. I can get you a box for $83.
Great.
That's a good point. I think that I think this might be the best timing for people. Like, I know you know a lot of people who are political beings. So anytime I mention a politician, there are going to be people who cuss that politician out for corruption or whatever, perceived corruption or whatever. So if I say like Mike DeWine's trying to leave a legacy project, there will definitely be people who go ripping on DeWine. Just like Voinovich, you say anything about George Voinovich and they will bring up some crazy stuff from back in the day regarding George Voinovich. But for a guy who's 38 years old like me, who's from Canton, you know, I don't remember the mayor of Cleveland. I remember like him being a part of what throwing out the first pitch or helping throwing out the first pitch at Jacobs Field, because he helped, you know, do the stuff to get that stadium built and the whole thing. Obviously the Voinovich Bridge and all the other things. These guys, I think, start to think about things that are going to be named after them later, and it might be better if DeWine sticks to his guns and does the whole taxes on gambling thing instead of the pulling out the bonds and stuff like that. I can't make an argument, you know, about the whole, oh, the great economic impact. I'm not doing that. But I do want, as always, I know that ticket prices aren't going to go down in either Cincinnati or Cleveland, so you might as well be more comfortable in what you're paying for both of those cities. Now, I will tell you this, though. I am cognizant and sensitive to every stadium being an indoor facility, but I also am glad that ours looks a little bit different, and I don't want that to change if we're going to get an indoor facility. I don't want that to happen, because what I'm concerned about, I see the renderings of what's going on in Kansas City, what's happening in Washington. They all just look like Allegiant Stadium, like I said. Or they have that round thing like they have at SoFi. We do so many things with... My fear is we do so many things with construction and with architecture. I don't want to go back to the 60s and 70s. I don't want to do that. There has to be a way to make these things Cleveland.
Well, when everything was a bowl back then, it looked like...
Yeah, well, they were all mixed-use facilities.
Yeah.
Riverfront Stadium, Three Rivers Stadium, Busch Stadium.
The Vet.
Our stadium to a degree, but it was obviously much older than that. The Vet, yes. I don't want... Qualcomm Stadium was a mixed-use circle stadium, donut stadium, whatever you were calling it. You don't want it to be like that. I think that what makes baseball so great, or one of the great things about baseball, even though I think they have a stadium crisis of their own, ask the A's, ask sadly the Rays, look at where they have... Look at San Diego Stadium. The Western Meat or Western Metal Supply Company, right there down the third baseline in left field, where they do. And I think those aren't actually general
seats.
Yeah, I don't
know if that's part of the stadium.
That is. It is. I've looked it up. Yes, it is. Okay. Yeah. It's part of the stadium, but I think they do hospitality there. Like you can get a corporate suite there.
Well, that's what the upper right field has become over at Progressive
now. Yes. But what they are is they become really a part of the city. Like you can't. If you are a sports fan of any means, or any, not means, but you think of sports, when you think of Baltimore, you're going to think of Camden Yards and the warehouse.
Yeah.
When you think of, I think that there is something for Clevelanders. I don't know if they think about it that way, but I think that for Progressive Field, you think of the skyline behind it, the AT&T building, the giant scoreboard, the whole thing. I don't want that to be lost in the next generation, because... I was so bored by the outlooks or by what these stadiums look like when I was a kid. These mixed use stadiums, the funny colors, like why do you have the color of seating? And I know it's like it was supposed to be for some reason of charging people, but I hated everybody had the different, like the multicolored seats. I hated the mixed use. I don't like looking up and not being able to see anything. If you're going to have a stadium, like there has to be something you can look out and see something. And I don't want that to be lost in the new stadium, even though I think you're going to lose something because it's going to be in Brook Park, not in downtown Cleveland, where Cleveland obviously has a bit of a skyline and, of course, the lake to look at. But in the new place, all right, it's an indoor facility. But what can we do to make it stand out from the other ones that aren't cheesy and hokey? Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I am not sure of that. I think this is basically the best that you can get. Because I'd rather it look like how it looks right now, which some people have been critical of. I'd rather the renderings that I've seen, I'd rather it look like how it looks right now than Washington's.
Than what you saw in Washington.
Yeah, than Kansas City's rendering.
Yeah, the only feature to Washington's is that it's on that it's not the Potomac, but what is the river that goes the other way in northeast?
Thames.
I don't know what that is. But then you can see the Capitol too.
The Reagan River.
The fact you can see the Capitol building too is pretty cool. But you're right. It's just looks like another dome. Now I think Lucas Oil is fantastic inside. There's no view of any, you know, you're not seeing the skyline, not that there's a huge skyline in
Indy. But it's still, I think there's still something there where it stands out from the rest.
It has a distinct look, and it looks like it belongs in that downtown.
And the same thing with what they have at U.S., I don't think it's U.S. Bank anymore. Either way, the one in Minnesota, that is really, really cool. SoFi stands out in its own way, even though it's a two-team stadium, because of the giant footprint that it takes up with the canopy that goes over the stadium, which, again, if you have any lightning there, as we've seen, you can't play because it's open. It's technically open air. I just don't want to mess with this. This is a setup. I think that it can be something that sticks out differently, and I think if they go messing with it, they run the risk of messing it up. And I just saw Washington's, and if I was a Commanders fan, I just wouldn't be. A new stadium's great. Everybody gets excited. People do eventually get excited about a new stadium, but it just doesn't stand out like the other ones do. It doesn't. Yeah.
I do wonder, like the Browns, you know, about 3 weeks ago or down at the NFL owners meetings, was kind of matter of factly stated that if this doesn't get done, they're just going to pack up their stuff, take their ball and go home, meaning renovation of the stadium, even though they've tried to tell you that that is not feasible. We know what the county has said time and time again with Chris Ronayne, which is this is so much more practical. We'll see. I do wonder if there is a pivot, because I've just assumed all along this is getting done. The land is purchased. The Haslams are too politically connected and powerful for this thing to fail. And just the fact that DeWine keeps telling everybody, I don't like your deal. And he does have the executive power here to veto. What happens next? I do wonder what the appetite is of the Cleveland Browns to pivot off of this.
I think they can come together on something. I really think that they can come together on something and do that. And I think that that would make things a little bit easier for everybody to be able to do something like that. Because it's like, all right, you know, you're not getting hammered on everything. It's just it takes care of you to some level. And I think that that would be okay. I would like that. All right.